Hello everyone, welcome to... Okay, never mind, we do not have drum rolls, forget it. But yeah, welcome to Gibberish with Gerard. So this is my new podcast show, and I'm really, really excited to start it out today. It's been a long wait, for me at least personally, to start and put out a show for you guys. I really wanted to do this for a very long time, and I'm just happy that I'm finally able to do it. So yeah, thank you for tuning in to my very first episode. In fact, I think by now most of y'all would already be wondering, you know, is this actually Gerard? Why is he doing a podcast out of the blue and stuff like that? I actually have my reasons to why I wanted to start this, and it's quite a long story which I would definitely share with y'all in the latter half of this episode for sure. But before that, let me just introduce myself to the audience out there who might not know who I am or have not been in contact with me for the past 6 months or so. So let's just keep this as like a refresher about me, you know, for whatever happened in my life in the last 6 months. All right, so I'm currently 21 years old and just completed my national service last November. Actually, contrary to what I thought I would be feeling like after the completion of NS, you know, like full of joy and be like trying to forget the painful 2 years of my life, I actually have had mixed feelings about it, to be very honest. You know, this is very interesting and surprising to me, at least, because every time I stood at a guardhouse to book in on every Sunday night, I couldn't wait to get out and off the national service, you know, and wanted to OID ASAP and not visit a goddamn camp anymore. But after OIDing, I actually missed, you know, the fun times and as cliche as it sounds, the sense of camaraderie and brotherhood I had in camp. For example, the first thing that comes to my mind is all those time I spent playing badminton and table tennis like the last 6 months prior to OID. It was absolutely super fun, like every day. Now, after routine orders, we would go back up to the bunk, change to our PT kit, head to the table tennis area or the hall, you know, to play table tennis and badminton respectively. And we would just play for hours, you know, hours until lights out time, you know, just before lights out, so that you can have a quick shower before you head to sleep. So, you know, it was really fun, and it wasn't only fun, it also helped me to develop my skills, because I was actually playing with people who have played both table tennis and badminton in a competitive level before, you know, enlisting into the army. So I really learned a lot of skills, you know, on how to play the game professionally from them. But of course, you know, the army experience was much more than that. Just being with my bunk mates and being with my platoon and company mates, interacting with them on a daily basis, is something that I would say that I'll remember for a very long time to come. Like, seriously, I'm not joking. In fact, actually, if you remove all those strenuous physical training sessions and IPPTs and like whatever outfield exercises you are required to do as a combat personnel, I would say it's not that bad, and it's like a resort, you know, because of all the free food and stuff like that. In fact, you know, you do get paid, you know, for serving. So yay for NS. But overall, practically speaking, you know, my NS experience, you know, wasn't that good, or wasn't bad either. You know, it was like right smack in the middle, you know, with the right balance, I suppose. Actually, I'm not really sure. You know, actually, you know what? I will leave the discussion about national service for one of my future episodes, maybe, where I can hopefully get one of my army mates and share our respective army experiences with y'all and talk more in depth about it. So let's just round up about NS. So I OID'd around the 5th of November. Actually, it was on the 5th of November. And after that, I wanted to travel and get the hell out of here, man. Like seriously, you know, I didn't want to stay in Singapore and just, you know, endure this weather any longer. But yeah, you know, in the army, you know, you do not get many opportunities to travel as much as you probably used to before the army. But having said that, you know, I did travel quite a bit during my national service stint, but But still, the sense of freedom you get while traveling without having to constantly think about diet, fitness, and stuff like that, you know, I think it's really refreshing, personally. In fact, when I traveled during my national service, in my back of my mind, I would always be thinking of stuff like, oh, when is my next booking? When will I be jet-lagged when I go back to camp? When is my next guard duty? And stuff like that. You know what? Actually, talking about guard duty, I had to do guard duty like the day after I came back to Singapore. Not once, but twice. Like what the hell? You know, it was by far my most excruciating guard duty experience, you know, in Seletar camp. Okay, maybe after the dog chasing one, but we will leave it for another day. But you know, just because I had to, you know, report to camp for a 24-hour duty after landing in Singapore for like, what, 5 to 6 hours? That was really insane. Like, come on, I really hated it. I was super triggered, but you know, I had no choice, unfortunately, because you know, we did have to follow those strict guard duty schedule, and I didn't want to like burden someone else who's actually enjoying his weekend. But yeah, actually, sorry for the sidetrack and rant, but sometimes you do not really enjoy your travel experiences, you know, especially closer to the end of your trip, because your army memories, you know, come back to haunt you constantly. So this is like complete freedom where you can completely enjoy yourself because you are no longer obligated to serve the country full time. So in fact, the whole of second half of November and first half of November, for a total of 25 days or so, I traveled for leisure and tourism purposes, as well as to, of course, visit my relatives. I went to the United States, which is currently in absolute shambles now due to the virus and protests, and I also went to Canada. So two similar countries, and yet vastly different, you know, in terms of the state of living and stuff like that, I would say. So it was a great experience for me to get to travel to that part of the world, you know, North America, and experiencing American culture, you know, if there is one, and just visiting cool American places, you know, firsthand for the first time, and after looking at it for so many years on Hollywood movies and American TV shows, you know, it was really damn cool. So, you know, all in all, I absolutely enjoyed that trip. And after that, you have the usual Christmas celebrations, New Year celebrations, welcoming 2020 in style, without knowing how much, you know, it's going to screw up our lives big time. But yeah, you know, all the fun stuff, basically, before I traveled again, so this time to the United Kingdom. So I went to the UK for a couple of weeks, not for travel, not for leisure purposes, actually, but for my medical school interviews. So I flew to London, and it was a very nerve-wracking experience for me because it was the first time that I was traveling to any country solo. Yup, I was actually soloing for the 2 weeks, and those who do know me personally would know how much of a mommy's boy I am, and like traveling like, you know, 6,700 odd miles away from my parents was kind of a huge deal for me. I was extremely anxious because there's going to be a lot of mugging, studying, prepping for the med interviews, you know, and all the stress involved in it. But I also had to plan things to keep myself occupied, as a majority of my interviews were at the start of my trip, and I was essentially free, you know, after that until my last interview, which was a day before I flew back to Singapore. So this travel experience, you know, on a whole was a real eye-opener for me as I got to live away from my parents for a solid 2 weeks and live in a hostel with bunk-like setting. So this is where, in fact, all those things that I learned and picked up in the army really came to the fore and helped me out to survive those 2 weeks. So yeah, so that's how my January went, more or less. So moving on to Feb was all about learning driving. Driving is something that I was personally like 50-50 on it, because I do cycle a lot here in Singapore, and with the extensive public transport we have here, I did not really find a need to learn driving. I wasn't like 100%, you know, determined to do driving, like not like those kind who wait till they turn 18, and once they hit it, they straight away go to a driving school and enroll for their driving lessons. So I wasn't that type of a guy, but I wasn't also a guy, you know, who's totally apprehensive about driving and doesn't want to learn it. I was like, I will learn if I have the opportunity to do so, but if I don't, then I'm absolutely okay with it. You know, I've no issues with it. So I was caught in like two minds, basically, to be very honest. However, like most, you know, Indian households, I have parents who, you know, just force you to do stuff that you might not be particularly fond of. Let's put it that way. So basically driving was something that was pushed by my mom, and she was like, you got to learn it, you know, you got to learn it. It's like a useful life skill and blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, we didn't learn, but you know, you need to learn because it's going to be useful for you in the future. So I was like, okay, and I'll just ride the wave and signed up for it in 2019 itself, actually. If I'm not wrong, in Jan 2019, I did sign up and I did my, what was it called again? Basic theory test, yes, BTT, yes. Sorry, I was almost about to say BMT, oh my god. But yeah, you know, I completed my BTT then itself. But thereafter, I couldn't just continue with the course, you know, for the whole year. I was like, I gotta grab the weekend slots because those are the slots that I would actually be free for because of NS. But for some reason, you know, I couldn't just book any weekend slot using the SSDC online system. Every time that I looked up, like even for weeks ahead, it was always full. You know, I didn't know how and when people managed to book, you know, all these slots so fast. But honestly, I didn't really care about it because, come on, weekend is the only time, you know, you are free in the army, and why would you want to spend the time by waking up early in the morning and traveling all the way to Admiralty? So it took me 1 year to resume my course and do my FTT, which I cleared it in early Jan this year, you know, if I'm not wrong. And then after my UK trip, I straight away dived into the practical lessons and completed like 18 to 20 of them in just slightly over 2 weeks. Now I was like, screw this, and I'm going to learn this quick, get over it ASAP. I think I had like 4 lessons on some days and like 5 lessons on one of those days. And trust me, those days were super painful. Like your ass and back literally hurts so much that you can't get out of the bed the next day. Can you imagine, you know, like 5 times 2 hours per session, so like 10 hours in a car, just sitting and driving and learning, and also getting scolded by the instructors, because according to one of my instructors, my sensing of the road sucks. But yeah, no, despite all the pain involved, it was actually more enjoyable than what I thought it would be like. And as I learned more, I actually liked the process of driving. So that was like, you know, the positive side of it. So that was really good. And cut to March, I had my practical test, and thank God I passed it and got my license, you know, which is actually collecting dust ever since, because, you know, because of the whole lockdown / circuit breaker situation, I did not get to drive much outside. And honestly, if you ask me to drive now, I'm pretty sure I won't be able to drive properly. Like if you ask me to park, I'm 100% sure, like 120% sure, I'll bang at least one car. So that's how bad my memory is, you know, regarding driving as of now. So moving on, you know, what did I do after driving? Let me see. So after driving, in the end of Feb, I joined Republic Poly and started to work part-time there. So actually, I'm still working, you know, my contract has not ended yet. It's quite an interesting job scope, like dealing with bursary forms and helping out with the processing and verification of bursary applications. Now, I think the best time, or one of the more memorable times I had in the entire working experience, was actually the counter collection days, because there will be days where you have to sit inside a room and the parents, you know, together with their child will come and submit their hard copy bursary form and supporting docs to you. So they will ask you all kinds of questions, and you need to help them out. Like, you know, if they submit the wrong documents, you need to direct them in the correct direction, and get the correct documents for them and stuff like that. It was so memorable because I got to interact with so many different kinds of people, and I do like that kind of stuff. But when I mean different, it is really a wide spectrum of parents, you know. Oh God, this was a really wide one. Like, I had some parents who were like really, really understanding, you know, where they'd be like super apologetic, you know, if they had missed any documents or left any piece of information blank, you know, that they're supposed to fill in. When I know used to like spot those mistakes and tell them, they would be extremely apologetic about it. However, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, I had parents who just got triggered for no absolute reason. Like, till today, I still don't know why some parents were just like that. Like, they were super angry all the time and unreasonable at times as well. Actually, there was this one time when I asked, may I know what is your housing type? Because you left it blank. And they responded like, oh, no, isn't it obvious? Like this block is obviously 4 rooms and blah, blah, blah. Then I was like, bruh, you know, I don't go memorizing, you know, all the housing types of every single house in Singapore and be like, you know, I'm like, you know, and be like, I'm expected to know, you know. You know, like, for example, like, if you say you live in, I don't know, block 259 in Choa Chu Kang Street 64 or something like that, I should immediately come up with a number of rooms that particular house model has, you know. That's absolutely insane, and I found it absurd. But guess what, you know, that phase is over, and now I'm working from home because of the circuit breaker, which itself is actually more stressful, you know, to work from home because, you know, you do have to meet certain deadlines and, you know, constantly the full-time staff, you know, want to get things done, you know, more efficiently and you know, at a much quicker pace. So that was that, but I think the flexible working hours I had at home made up for it. So what would I be doing after this is basically waiting for med school. So honestly, I wanted to do medicine since, like, I don't know when actually, like primary 5 or something. I was really interested in that, and having the opportunity to pursue that in the UK is something that I'm extremely, extremely grateful for. I do believe that you have to be blessed to pursue medicine as a degree and a career, and I can't thank, you know, God, Jesus enough for seeing me through the difficult times and presenting me with the opportunity to do what I always wanted to since young. So I'm actually looking forward to med school. Like, slacking for 2.5 years is good enough, I guess. But yeah, I'm excited to study this challenging course, which is going to be an enriching experience for sure. I've no doubt about that. Living away from my parents, that's going to be a difficult pill to swallow. But I just hope that this experience would make me more independent and help me grow more as a person, as a human being. But those things are actually quite hazy as of now because of how things are unfolding globally due to the COVID-19 pandemic. I don't know, you know, when travel is going to start, you know, when flights are going to start flying. I don't know how lessons are going to be like. Like, I'm pretty sure lectures are going to be held online, but I don't know how student interactions are going to be. Like, you know, is there going to be a freshers week, camps? I just don't know, and I'm unsure about all those things. But that is not something I should worry about immensely, I guess, because I've done all that I could, you know, all that is within my control, all that is within my reach. So now it's just hoping and praying that the situation gets better around the globe, so that, you know, hopefully I can have a safe environment to study in and have a fun time abroad. So that basically wraps up for what I am doing currently, and let's move on to why I started this whole podcast thingy. So the question that a lot of you might be thinking is, why podcast and when did I come up with this idea? So basically, I wanted a platform where I can express my thoughts and views freely. In fact, I was considering on creating and starting a proper YouTube channel. Why I'm saying proper is because I actually not I, more like we, because my friends own it as well, have a channel already. So it's called Life Productions, where we have some short films in both Tamil and English, travel vlogs, and some very funny meme videos, etc. So shameless promotion, but if y'all want to catch something funny, do head over to Life Productions channel, subscribe to our channel and watch it, I guess. But yeah, on a serious note, I think starting a YouTube channel needs some sort of stability in life and proper equipment and stuff like that. And I did not want it to be a very half-hearted attempt, you know, if you get what I mean. I do not want it to start off sloppy, you know. I wanted it to start it in a proper and technically sound way when I do start it out. So that was always, you know, in the back of my mind, and that's why I thought, you know, let's put the whole YouTube idea aside for now and let's just focus on podcast. So YouTube is something for me to consider in the future once I get a proper routine in life, which is probably when uni starts, you know, around that period, or just whenever I feel it's the right time to start one. But for now, podcast is something that has caught my attention. I've been wanting to do it since last year, actually, you know, when I was more into podcasts and was like constantly listening to some interesting ones when I was free in the army. Now, however, I couldn't start on one then because, you know, probably the biggest cock blocker of every single Singaporean teenage male, NS, was there to bombard me with guard duties and stuff like that every month, and I felt it was not practical to start because I would not be able to release episodes regularly, you know, do my proper research and those kind of stuff. Hey, but you know, no regrets, because I feel now is the perfect time to dive deep into the making of podcasts because of the whole coronavirus situation and you got to stay at home more or less. So I would have actually started, you know, a bit earlier when the circuit breaker was first imposed, but my work was quite demanding despite it being work from home, as I mentioned previously. So which is why I had to push it back a little. But yeah, going back to the question, why podcast? You know, I feel that podcast has a lot of potential and has a lot to offer as a medium or platform. So which is why, you know, the whole channel started and why I am doing this. So, if you're going to ask me, like, what topics am I going to talk about, I would say literally anything, you know, from light-hearted personal issues to some serious global issues. In fact, I have planned quite a lot for my podcast channel in the pre-production phase and have fixed on certain topics to talk about in the upcoming episodes. But having said that, you know, trust me, it's not going to be all serious, heavy discussions and be like super emotional and stuff, you know. That is definitely not the idea, you know. I would try to alternate between serious and lighthearted content every week so that it is quite balanced and I'm not just producing one kind of content. So having said that, I also do not want to bore all of y'all by just letting y'all to listen to me for an extended period of time. I know that is how some of the podcasts do work, but I feel it will be more interesting and refreshing to have a guest on board every week to share their views about, you know, that week's topics that we have already have in mind. So I've actually asked and gotten a few of my friends on board to have a good conversational podcast for the next 5+ weeks or so, so that we can provide content that is both informative and funny, you know, at the same time, hopefully, I suppose. But yeah, no, that's what we are going for. So, and that is something I feel all of you guys can look forward to in my podcast channel, which is frequent collaborations with friends and people whom I know and present a healthy discussion every week. I'm also planning to expand a podcast in my own mother tongue language, which is Tamil, of course, later in the future. I feel that certain topics will definitely be more interesting when engaged in Tamil. So that is there, and when I feel you know, the time is right, I will release a full-fledged Tamil-based podcast as well, simultaneously together with the English ones. So that is the kind of long-term prospects that we are looking at here. However, you know, in the short term, I think we have some very, very interesting collaborations with people who have very strong opinions and are not afraid to voice out their opinions in what they believe strongly in and in what they like to do. So I'm honestly very excited to work with them and hopefully produce some great content for all of y'all every week without fail. So to round things off, you know, I just want to make it clear that I literally have zero expectations for this podcast right now. Like, if you are still listening to me now, I really don't know what to say, but thank you so much for tuning in and hanging in there. I'm not doing this to earn a living or whatsoever. I'm doing this because I genuinely like it and doing this purely out of my passion for content creation. So as long as one person can resonate with my content and relate him or herself to it, I would actually be, you know, super satisfied with my work. So yeah, I think I've covered everything that I wanted to do. I wanted to in my first episode and set the premise on what to expect in the future episodes of Gibberish with Gerard. I still can't believe that I managed to talk this long, you know, without like a full script and stuff. I don't know how long. I think it's probably 15 minutes or so. But yeah, you know, it's been a nice way to start my podcast journey with all of y'all. So once again, thank you for listening, and I hope you can support my effort and also provide any constructive feedback, you know, which would be deeply appreciated, of course. So till next Sunday or Monday, I don't know when I can get this out by. You know, just stay safe. You know, we are currently in phase one of the exit from the circuit breaker. Just cause the circuit breaker has been lifted, it doesn't mean that the virus is not there anymore. So it's pretty much here to stay for some time, and we have to learn to take precautionary actions more often and also learn to live with it. So remember to practice good hygiene and to wear masks whenever you go out. You know, it's extremely important. Let's flatten the curve and avoid a second wave you know, happening in Singapore. So hope y'all have a wonderful week ahead. And so this is Gerard, you know, signing off from Gibberish from Gerard. And till next week, goodbye.